Welcome to Nodcast, episode 133, convention season.
Duck season.
Convention season.
Husky season.
No.
Fuck season.
Shepherd season. No, that's a bad thing.
The year of the Sheppy Koopa.
Yes, there we go.
So it's been a couple weeks since we've recorded, and we've done both, all been to some cons, so we're going to lead off with Shiva and I's con report from AllCon.
Which is a con here in DFW. It's actually held in the same hotel as Furry Fiesta, so it's a very familiar ground for us. And it is a convention of all kinds of geeky things. Everything from movie makeup to how to do chainmail to... I saw something on making molded pieces for cosplay. Just all kinds of geeky things. This is a festival of geek.
There's Star Trek, Star Wars, steampunk. There was one of the guy who played Tychus Findlay in StarCraft II. The voice actor for that guy was there. The original Starbuck from the original Battlestar was also a guest.
He was in the new Battlestar too. I wish I had seen that. It's one of those seasons I keep meaning to catch up on.
That's how Richard Hatch was there.
That's who we're talking about.
There was a couple of TARDISes up on the upper balcony.
Wait. Richard Hatch was there, and you're not talking about him in Battlestar Galactica. You're talking about him in some voice of a video game?
No. Two different
people.
There
was another guy.
Oh, okay. I was going to be like...
Neil Kaplan.
I was going to be like, Neil what Kaplan. The fuck is wrong with you?
Okay. No, Richard Hatch was all over the place. I mean, I ran into him in the hallway, in the den. He was just wandering around. Every time I turned around, there he was again.
Bitchin'.
He was running around in the uniform, too.
Oh, I didn't see
him in
uniform.
He was running around in a Battlestar Galactica crew uniform. just because awesome. He could. It was actually pretty cool.
Living the dream.
Yeah.
Let's
he
see.
Certainly got paid nicely for his appearance, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, he looked like he had a good time, too.
Yeah.
He was all over the place.
That's awesome.
So we all went to different things. I mean, what all did you go to, Shiva?
I mostly went Saturday. Saturday, I nosed around a couple of panels. Mostly, I tend to do, like, crafty things. So, hit up the dealer's den, got a couple Doctor Who shirts, which Fuzz probably owns, but
maybe
I haven't
not.
Seen
There's
them
a
wear.
Lot of them.
Yeah, I got one that says Wibbly Wobbly Timey Wimey, and another one that was, like, the Gallifreyan... Institute of Gallifrey one. It's one of the ones that are mock-up of a school shirt.
Oh, Gallifrey Institute of Technology.
Yeah, the little logo at the bottom is Latin that translate is time is fleeting, so be fleet of foot.
Yes, I've got that one.
I thought you had that one.
That's one I got, yeah.
Let's see, went out to dinner with Saverin and then kind of wandered back over to the hotel. What did I do? Ah, yes. When we got back, we attended the podcast summit.
Yeah, that was
okay.
Interesting.
I knew I wasn't going to... I told you I wasn't really going to do this anymore, but after you told me about the podcast summit, I have to.
Hey, it wasn't bad. I mean, the first hour was kind of interesting, and then...
He told me it was bad, so I'm just going by what he told me.
Perspective is important here. If you were just someone walking into the thing, it was five guys from three podcasts talking about geeky stuff.
Yeah, it started about a little bit of podcasting, and then the second hour really devolved into just geeking.
Banter.
Now, towards the end of the podcast summit, my mate Siam came in and he's like, are you going to come wait in line with us? It's like, are you sure we're going to be able to get in? He's like, yeah, we're right by the door. Really? So I went and I got to see my treat of AllCon. See, AllCon runs a properly adult with ID check and everything burlesque. And we're talking about proper burlesque. As in, these are gals who did basically kind of little, not
it's as, a strip show without the payoff.
No, there was payoff.
Okay. There was tits last time, I remember.
Oh, yes. There was lots of tits.
You don't consider that the payoff? You're like, Bush or nothing.
So I got to see, like, nine different burlesque routines. Eight of those featured lots of boobs. So, and lots of tassels and spinny. It's like, yes, I got to see boobs. The thing is this year they managed to get to convince one of the, I guess she's pretty famous for doing it at the con. She does Jessica Rabbit, and she does a good Jessica Rabbit.
Oh my.
No. Oh my. She came up on stage with this purple dress that looked painted on, just all sequins and the bright red hair. And you know the song that she sings in Roger Rabbit?
I know she sings a song, but I don't remember what it is.
It's basically, anyway, you'd recognize the song. And she does a routine to this, and she takes off the dress, and then she takes off the corset. And my God, I mean, in the old Droopy Dog cartoons, you'd see when the wolf character sees a dame and his jaw hits the floor and his eyes bug out. And then the next stage is the
tongue rolls out like a carpet.
Yeah, and you see humana. It's like
then the cock wolf whistle. Comes out.
Yeah, this girl was holy crap. And it wasn't, there were girls I liked more, as in I found them more sexy.
Mm-hmm.
In a different way, but this girl was absolutely freaking amazing. Just stunning.
Would you say that she was built like a brick shit house?
Oh, yeah. With add-ons. Gigantic, huge tracts of land.
Very good. Carry on.
So after that, that left me speechless for a little while. After that, we did Repo. And Repo, I seen the movie on like Netflix. I liked it. Hadn't seen a shadow cast of it before. It was pretty fun. And after that, it was 2 a.m. and I went home. And the next day, I pretty much went back, did one more cycle of the den, and I attended a panel on doing molding and casting for cosplay pieces. Like the Pip-Boys from Half-Life. Things like that.
Fallout 3.
Whatever. It's...
We don't want nerd hate mail. No.
that thing.
They yes. will correct
I recognized
you.
It. I it's, just,
anyways.
I'm fussy on the game.
Mine, I attended pretty much... The only thing I attended the same as you was the podcast summit, and I'll give my own personal view on that in a minute. I went and saw the Damsels of Dorkington, which they are... a nerdy improv troupe consisting of a big bald dude and three moderately attractive to attractive chicks. Pretty good. Pretty funny. Dork Pride, you know, if you're a Star Wars nerd or anything else, you know, you're cool, you know, you should have pride in what you're in, and except furry. If you're a furry, you don't count. You're not a nerd or a dork. You don't count. And I was like, you cunts. You were funny until you said
that. They actually said that?
Yeah, they were like, they like specifically excluded furries from being dorks. And I'm like, you don't have a fucking clue. That kind of killed that for me.
We're not dorks. We're geeks.
Dorks, nerds, geeks, dweebs.
Oh, okay.
Pick your flavor, right? And they were like, oh, they just dress up in costumes and fuck. And I'm like, oh, God.
What's wrong with that? Even if that were true, what's wrong with that?
But they were putting it down. I was like, oh,
that's because they're not getting laid.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, if I go to a con, I can fuck somebody if I wanted to. I don't think you'd do that here at all con. Anyways, went to a pretty kick-ass concert of a band called Urizen, U-R-I-Z-E-N. They're metal with a bit of chiptune tossed in, and I'm kind of surprised they didn't blow out the speakers in the oak.
They are very loud.
Yeah, if you were on the other side of the hotel, you could have heard it.
I stuck my nose in there briefly on my way back from something. Thought that they sounded pretty good, but I was running late.
Yeah. Fucking metal!
I picked up their CDs. It's pretty good. Dealer's Den, shopped around, hung with Guardian some. Had lunch, went over to Recky and Saro's for their little birthday thing, went back to the podcast summit. Now, the thing about the podcast summit was that it was five guys, two wives, and a friend of theirs.
Oh, the wives showed up?
That was the two... I'm pretty sure those were the two chicks that stuck around the whole show.
Oh.
Man, you thought those were groupies.
I thought that they were, like, some people who just wanted to...
No, they were wives.
Oh.
And the audience consisted of five other people. two of which were myself and Shiva. At the end of it, there was two people left, and Shiva wasn't one of them. I was.
I went to go see tits.
That's fine.
I thought you had your priorities straight there, Shiva.
I will be honest, I kind of stuck around.
Actually, that was kind of gay.
I stuck around because I felt a little bad for them. Each of these guys that came around from wherever and tried to do a panel on podcasts and get other podcasters to show up, well, the only other podcast that showed up was ours, and by all indications, and we're way, way, way bigger. And, like, one of them has been podcasting for, like, 5 years, had 230 episodes, maybe 1,000 listeners, they said, 1,500. And we're over that, trust me.
Let me just pull out my podcast dick. Thump! It's shaped like a microphone.
I'm not even trying to pull a podcast dick. I'm just saying I was actually hoping that this would have been a lot more people.
I know. I'm just, you know, amused. These guys
trying to put on this podcast summit are pretty small time.
Man, if we had a podcast summit at a FurCon, the fucking room would be packed.
I know. And I'd actually, if I go to a couple, I'd be like, I'd want to probably run a podcasting panel and be like, bitches, this is what you got to do. And I think that'd be pretty entertaining. But we'll see what my con attendance turns out to be.
I've just watched Recky as
Recky is playing with his new toy. He got an iPad 2, and
I just got the one.
Oh, it's the one. Okay,
yeah, I didn't get the Asian one that's thinner and has a camera all the time. So.
That he's playing with it, and
this the iPhoto. I saw this tweeted earlier.
Yeah, George Takei.
Yes, George Takei tweeted that. See, it's not racist because he said it.
Yeah, so I don't feel bad.
and my iPad will be here on Saturday. Yay!
But after that, went to the later show. It was adult, lots of swearing. Was moderately funny. Still ragged on furries randomly. I'm like, yes, why?
It's kind of like, and we talked about this, and you might actually run this by the Alcon staff. It's like, you know, Alcon had like 4 pages of ads in the Furry Fiesta Con book. We're in the same hotel, like 3 weeks apart.
We're almost come on, guys, as big what the as fuck? You after 3 years.
Probably bigger.
No, this is just one of the panels.
Last year they hit 1,600 last year.
So oh, okay. All right.
It's good to know that we have room to grow in our current position.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to learn some for their vendor layouts. I'm not going to stick people in the side hallways the way they did.
Yeah, well. Mm. All in all, it was... went back on Sunday for... some sideshow thing, which involved the potential for copious amounts of blood, but didn't. It was a guy doing sideshow acts, laying on machetes, getting a guy to stand on him while laying on machetes. A chick doing a belly dance.
Mm, machete.
And, like, the final bit was, like, you could staple money to him. He had a staple gun, and if you had a dollar bill, you could staple it to him. If he had a 5, or, like, if he had a 10, you could staple it to his forehead. And like, if you had a 50, he said you could staple it to his tongue. And only, like, 3 people did that, but I'm just like, oh, what a hard way to make money.
I'm sorry. A staple is worth more than $1.
Yeah.
What was he screaming the whole time?
No, he didn't make a noise.
Because that would be amazing. That would be amazing. You go there and she's like, ah! There's blood splattering everywhere.
And then after that was the act of cut, thrust, and run. They're a swordplay act that goes to various Ren fairs. They were at Scarborough for a few years. They got 20 minutes into their act and they had a staffer come in and be like, oh my god, you're 20 minutes over. And so they rush through the last, like, 10th of their show and end it. And everybody else walks up after the fact like, dude, you guys started at noon. It's 12:25. They were so pissed. So that was the kind of the end of mine. I was like, well, that was the last thing I wanted to see and they cut it short. That sucks. And, all I can say, AllCon is a con. It's pretty unfocused, but they have a wide variety of events.
If you've got a wide variety of geek interests, you can probably find something scattered all over the day.
Hell, they had a 24-hour anime song endurance marathon thing that was basically these 3 guys, a couple cases of Heineken, and 1,400 or so anime intros and outros that they could sing. And you won prizes by sticking around in there and playing bingo with the song titles.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were in there and sang along during a certain number and made a bingo, you got a prize. There's actually a couple people that were from Furry Fiesta that were there, and I'm like, oh, hey, Saverin, how's it going? So
yeah, I ran into Ferret cool. Jesus. He was running around.
Minus the ferret head.
Yeah, I walked up to him. It's like, yeah, it's like, you know, hey, how are you doing? It's like, I almost didn't recognize you without your ferret head. And he looked at me and he says, oh, you're from FF. It's like, yep. It's like, hey, how are you? You could tell that kind of like geekery of, oh shit, somebody recognized me.
It was his going in stealth furry mode. I mean, there were still a couple people that did furry. There's a couple people that did furry art. And we had one of the vendors from the dealer's den.
Yep, we Archon, had Lara Garabedian.
Yeah, but in terms of, you know, furry is still the redheaded stepchild of the nerdity, I guess. Oh well.
There's gotta be.
I am mildly irritated that last year I got to go to AllCon because it was a different week weekend last year, and I was specifically going in there. I was like, hey, local sci-fi con, maybe I can go in and find like some Doctor Who toys or something like that. Went in there, fuck all.
Oh, no, then
this year,
yeah, this
when
year.
I'm away, there's fucking TARDISes everywhere and t-shirts and what the fuck.
Oh, no, there was toys and other stuff, too.
Oh, bastards.
Yeah. Well, you were at another con, some event out in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about that, Fuzz?
Well, there wasn't any Doctor Who there.
Not even any people dressed as the Doctor going...
Actually, no, that's not true. Collie was there, and he was dressed as Six, nice. which was awesome. So
could
nice
he
to
punch people have and a throw time them Lord into acid.
Randomly punching people into the dealer's room, yes.
But on the theme of Doctor Who, at the Revo show, they've got like a pre-show thing where they basically put on a whole bunch of songs that everybody knows. The cast gets up and dances and warms up the crowd. Well, the very last thing before the... I forget the song, but basically they got this Congo line going. And the thing is the guy they grabbed to start it was a guy dressed as Five.
Oh, nice.
It's like, okay, and everybody's following the Peter Davison clone around the room.
I wonder if it's the same Five I saw at AECON last year.
Yeah, this was kind of bigger, broader guy. I mean, he wasn't fat, he's just not skinny the way kind of Peter Davison was.
Yeah, yeah. Kinda, and he had sort of the style of hair as Davison, but it was a little bit darker and a little bit thinner.
Yeah.
Sounds like the same dude then.
So
cool.
But yeah, just on the theme of Doctor Who.
Awesome. Well, like AECON last year was like a 5, a 7, and an 8, if I recall correctly.
There were so many tenants at AllCon. I mean, you had old tenants, new tenants, girl tenants, boy tenants. There was just so many tenants and only like one Matt Smith. Well, a couple of Matt Smiths, but
Matt Smith
so
needs
many
to get
tenants.
The love. Man, I will like have like 200 pounds sucked off my body, and then I will be Matt Smith. I have to have a couple of ribs removed too because he's really scrawny.
Well, no, see, if you have 200 pounds sucked off, you can make another Matt Smith, and you'll be so they have two Matt Smiths.
Yeah, but that's such a 10th Doctor thing to have a clone of yourself.
God damn it! Are we really going there?
Welcome to Who Furs, episode 11. Where we discuss Matt Smith.
Masturbate.
So yeah. It's just be 20 minutes of.
Yeah, no. We have a show to do. We're professionals.
So I went to FWA, Furry Weekend Atlanta, last weekend, and that was furry, and it was on a weekend, and it was in Atlanta.
Sounds magical.
That is all. No, well, not as magical as an iPad.
So
I had a good time, actually. Sales went okay. I had awesome roommates, Kit and Kyle, and they helped out at the table also. I had Kyle doing book signings a lot of the weekend. He also did some panels. I didn't get to go to any panels except for the ones that I was on. So I was in the dealer's room most of the time. Saturday was like a really eventful evening because I got out of the dealer's room and I had the adult furry fiction panel at 9. Indy, why are you laughing? Wait, what's the text?
Stones may break my bones, but Life Alert can save me.
Oh.
It's this really old-looking lady. Oh my god, that's fucking terrible.
The bane of advice, dog. Are you browsing 4chan on your iPad?
No, Twitter.
Oh man, the Twitter app for the iPad must be fucking huge. Damn. Yes,
it is. And, you know, boom.
His tweets are nice. Huge.
Yes, they are.
So, the adult furry fiction panel went really well. I wish we'd recorded that fucker, because I had no idea what I was going to be talking about or anything. Kyle kind of rolled with it. Well, he kind of drafted me onto it later. But it was just funny, and, like, the end of the panel, like, there's a staffer came in and gave us the kind of wrap it up motion with his hand. We were like, well, it's got to be only like 9:30. I've been here that long. Click on the phone. 10:01. Oh shit. Okay. That was the last question. Bye. Time just flew. We had a really good time. They had like an hour break, went upstairs, got the podcast equipment. And because our Not Sheathed episode, which if you're hearing this, hopefully you heard Not Sheathed. It was beyond before this episode. That was on at 11. So that was really late. We had that room from 11 to 1 late Saturday night. So the first 20 minutes of that was me setting up the new equipment and everything, which worked pretty well. And then after that, it was like we just hung out. We hung out with Hux, who's the programming guy for FWA, his mate Icy Wolf, Rama Lion, Kyle Kit, and me. And I think there was a couple other people there earlier. But we had gone to the restaurant, and we hung out there until they closed. And then we went over to the little food snacky area. And, man, we were up till like 3 in the morning. And I really shouldn't be up that late at a con I'm dealing at.
I was going to say, were you one of those late opening dealers?
No. Amazingly, I wasn't. We opened 10 to 6 every day. But that was like really nice. Like we just hung out really late, just chatting, a really small group, you know, not getting all drunk and rowdy or anything, just having a good conversation. It was probably one of my favorite moments of the con. Just simple little thing, just hanging out, chatting with people, new friends, you know. When I got to the con, I saw the super sponsor gift, well, the god level at FWA to call it, was this pocket watch. Mm-hmm. Their theme was Alice in Wonderland this year, so you know the whole thing with the pocket watch. And it was old-fashioned winding pocket watch. It was custom. It said the name of the con and everything on it. You'd see the little gears in it through the plate on the back. I was like, oh, shit, I want that. So the God level comes with that, the T-shirt, access to the God level con suite, which has like extra nice food, and the God level dinner, which they actually do outside of the hotel. They take you to the meat faucet. No, that's not his name. Fogo de Chao, which I have heard described as a meat faucet because they just keep bringing the meat. And I'd actually never eaten there before, although we have one here. I was going to say,
we've got one right here, down here on Beltline.
We have one here. I should grab Tieran some night and go down there or something like that.
Yeah, but the Fogo de Chao will run you like $50 a plate.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's why it was a God level dinner. But in order to get to the God level dinner, because they're moving all these people like a 20-minute drive away, they hired basically a chauffeured bus service. And there happens to be one in Atlanta called Furbus. It's not associated with the furry fandom at all. It's just a coincidence that the inside is lined with this plush and lights, and they have a sound system, and they play music really loud, and it's like basically a rolling party bus. And, you know, it's got this horrible pun on the side, like, you know, chauffeured service.
Oh.
For an unforgettable experience.
Oh. Worse than what we would do in community.
Yeah, yeah. So that was interesting for about 10 minutes because it was so packed that we were standing up the whole time and my feet were killing me, having already been dealing all day.
Let me sit.
So at the end of the meal, we ended up, five of us shared a cab back to the hotel, which it was worth like the $10 each to get there.
And not take the horrible cramp bus.
It was cool, but yeah, it was just crowded. It was worse than the dart rail. and partially it was because they had a shitload of people like me guilty upgrade at the site on the day.
To get the watch?
Yeah, to get the watch and shit. You see, that's the thing that FWA does is they always have a ultra special god level gift. They never announce it in advance. So I usually wait until I get to the con to see whether I really want it or not. I mean, I want to support the con. I might go super sponsor or buy a t-shirt or something like that. But if I'm going to go all the way because it's like $180, then, you know, I want it to be something nice. Like 2 years ago, it was that nice laptop bag I've got. I don't know if you've ever seen that. That was really nice. And then this watch was like, ooh, I really want that. I could bring it to OklaCon in October because their theme is steampunkish this year.
You
want to
know something stupid?
Sure.
On Thursday, about the time you were arriving to con, before I had seen any of your tweets about what you got, I had, was it Thursday morning? Anyway, one day last week, I went to our hotel to meet with the hotel to talk about our contract for next year.
Mm.
And I'm walking, it's like, I really need a watch. I hate wearing something on my wrist. And it's like, I started thinking about my dad has pocket watches. Mm-hmm. Because if he wears a watch, he stops it. For whatever mm-hmm. reason, he stops watches.
He's a time lord.
So it's like, I'm thinking, it's like, well, he gets that. I should probably ask dad where he got his. So I'm been mulling over actually picking up one of those timepieces on a chain for like the last couple days, and then I see your post on Twitter. It's like, it's like, God damn it, Fuzz.
You know what? Somebody
now it's gonna seem like I'm copying you.
What's funny is somebody pointed out, like back in the day, we all had a little clock in our pockets, and then society moved to wristwatches, and now you realize people don't wear wristwatches anymore. But they have cell phones, so we're back to having a little clock in our pocket. It mm-hmm. just does more shit. So this one dude, I wish I could remember who it was, just talking in front of the table one day, was saying it's kind of come full circle like that. We're back to using pocket watches, just in a different form,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was kind of neat. But that's, boy, my brain is like, it's been stressful at work lately, and I slept, but damn, I was busy all of FWA because I drove out there. It was just me doing the setup and shit like that. And the first thing I saw when I got there was the loading dock for the dealers. So I came right off the road after a 14-hour journey right into the loading dock and unloaded my table. Went and parked my car, checked in, brought my shit up to the room, went back downstairs, set up my table, and then went out to dinner. So, like, I didn't fucking stop from, like, 3 in the morning on Thursday morning. I woke up, left town at 4, went to bed that night at, like, 1:30.
That's a long-ass day.
But, you know, once I got off the road, I had a little bit of energy for setting up and stuff like that. But, man, I was fucking beat.
I went to...
Just kept going the whole weekend.
I went to AC, 01. And between this set and the other thing, our flights got missed. Basically, from the time we left my folks' place up in New Hampshire, got down to Philadelphia, got into the hotel. We had been up nearly 48 hours straight with lost flights, lost baggage. It was a nightmare trip. Trying to just get from northern New Hampshire down to Philly, which is really not that long a trip. It's just we kept getting stuck in airports. So we were dead on our feet. Just holy crap. We're dying for a shower. We get checked into the hotel and decide, fuck it, I want a shower before I lay down and go to sleep. It's about time for me to go set up down in the artist alley. Crap, I'm going to miss the first full day. So I go in, take a hot shower. My mate Siam takes it with me. We get out of the shower. It's like, you know, I feel like I've just had 8 hours sleep. I look at him. It's like, I'd feel like that too. Do you feel okay? Why, yes. Yes, I do. So we go down and go down to the con and have a party until like I run out of steam like 5 in the afternoon and go off and take like a 3-hour nap. But still, best shower ever.
Like showers will, first thing in the morning, they'll revive me. But man, like late at night, it's just like thump and I'm done.
Yeah. So that was an epic trip. But somehow I managed to trade a single shower for 8 hours of sleep and I felt wonderful.
Tavern. She did a close up of that picture.
Nice.
So
it's just showing a hot picture with the fennec.
And a wolf fucking it.
Yeah. It reminds me of us. Except the way the room's situated tonight, you're behind me and that's just unnatural. So, do we want to move on to email?
Yeah. No. Let's not get that started, Fuzz.
We don't want the world to know.
It's our turn.
This is unnatural, no playing.
Okay, so first email of the night. Off-topic question is the subject. Here's a fun one for you guys. How do you each feel about the recent interactions with the media at FWA? As far as I heard, there was G4's Attack of the Show and the quote-unquote secret intrusion of Atlanta's Rock 100.5, which broadcasted several tweets and other things, and to quote them said, "So basically everything in their con material says is a bunch of lies, it's a bunch of homos doing it." They
say that like it's a bad thing.
They even had one of their local show hosts going to room parties. Tweets from Lupine Silver, Craven, and Bad Dragon were read on air, as well as recordings that were made on one of the host's iPhones. I also saw some footage of Attack of the Show filming in the dealer's den, so I was wondering specifically how Fuzz feels about that. How do you all feel about this, and do you think there's anything we could have done to prevent it? Thanks for your time, Ratchet.
So, I've heard that past coverage from G4 has been neutral to positive.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm kind of holding my breath on making any judgment calls on the G4 show. The one clip I saw from Friend's cell phone was like the host was walking around and there was fursuiters all on the floor. And they all jumped up together and danced around her. So, it seemed to be kind of a fun thing. But another friend overheard them saying something about, "Let's open this binder, it's adult." So,
yeah.
I'll kind of wait on that. I will say that I would have liked to have been informed as an attendee that media was going to be on site and filming. Because it was a complete surprise to me that just a fucking camera crew comes into the dealer's room.
And so you knew to be aware to duck if need be?
Yeah, I didn't know that because we weren't given any warning. Now, they did ask the con, so, you know, they handled it right. They asked the con, they got their permission, they were escorted the whole time that I could see by a staff member, so they weren't running off filming their own shit. But I would have liked some heads up so that I could have formally opted out or anything like that. I did say that I didn't want filmed. So they didn't film me, so that's good, because I'm not going on media or being interviewed about any of this. I'm not taking the responsibility to speak for this fandom on like anything beyond like this fucking podcast. So I'm not too negative on G4 being there, because at least they kind of handled it the right way with going through the official channels.
They played by the rules.
They played by the rules, basically. I don't know what FWA's official media policy is, but I guess they probably followed it since they got permission. And the other guys, though, we don't even need to acknowledge. They're literally not worth
it. They're shock jocks. Get a rise out of anything.
They're local radio shock jocks. This isn't like Vanity Fair or CSI, where millions of people are watching it. More people are going to see Attack of the Show than listen to these assholes.
I saw the previous one, Attack of the Show, and it's basically, hey, look at these guys. They're kind of weird, but, you know, they seem harmless.
They're fairly harmless. Yeah. They're weird, but harmless.
It really is kind of a pisser that they're just like, you know, that are trying to cast this in the light of a bunch of dog fuckers, you know, and, you know, none of the good shit in the fandom gets mentioned, you know.
Yeah, never mind the fact that, you know,
all the money that we raise for charity and, you know, just it's a good time. And even if it is a bunch of homos doing it, there's like fetish cons and swinger cons and shit like that. So even if it was, what would be the problem with that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hell, you don't see, well, see, I see, like, all con compared to what furry cons do and get away with is way more extreme with everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like,
I was surprised about that last year.
Okay, like,
they had a full burlesque with tits out
in the Oak Ballroom.
Yes, I mean, they carted people, but they still had tits flapping everywhere.
But there was also a chick doing the Slave Leah, who shouldn't have been doing the Slave Leah. Maybe she was like Slave Leah plus 5 or 6 cheesecakes. a larger woman with tits to match doing the Slave Leah. Oh, instead of having the faux metal bustier, had tassels. And was just standing out there.
Kind of terrifying.
And they have the giant Star Wars box stand up so you can like pose in your stormtrooper armor. Look, I'm an action figure, hurt eater.
Yeah.
Well, this was a chick playing burlesque Slave Leah, taking a photo like, I'm Slave Leah action figure. And I'm just like, yeah, it's past midnight, but this is walking around the hallways. And nobody's saying anything. Yeah,
when they're going in and out to the burlesque, they're using, like, one of the doors on the far end. So as they're they go in full clothing, they come out in tassels. So they go exiting the ballroom into the hallway wearing their tassels.
And then this is probably going to come across as strangely prudish, because that's not our goal, but in terms of what occurs at furry cons versus what happens at non-furry cons, we're actually remarkably tame. Yeah, you know, all of our shit happens behind closed doors, at least.
Yeah, I honestly don't know why fur cons catch as much shit as they do.
We're weird.
It's smaller, it's not as known, so it's more, I guess, interesting.
They're watching cartoons! Laughinghorrors.jpg. You know.
Okay. I guess it's the animal aspect throws some people off or something like that. Or, you know, Recky's probably right. It's just small and it's new, and they made fun of Trekkies in the 70s and Otaku caught all sorts of shit in the 80s and 90s. And
now that they're both mainstream, well, they're kind of running out. Oh, okay. Let's pick on the furries. They're pretty small.
I have noticed a tendency in the geek subculture, though, that you know, geeks grow up being picked on in school and shit like that, so that when they become accepted, they still feel the need to try and make themselves seem better than somebody else.
So they find somebody else to pick on.
Yeah. Right now, they're just pushing around a smaller, newer, younger fandom than anime, you know? And
I was going to make that reference.
Yeah, and they'll grow out of that and
somebody else will come along for them to pick on.
We can pick on someone in like 10 years. We can pick on the robot Therians that have the soul of a Gundam or something like that.
Well, it does amaze and disappoint me, some of the shit that is in, I want to say, even with our own fandom, you know.
Oh, yeah, we do it to ourselves already. Yeah.
And then, like, I was reading on Destructoid today. And recently, Apple had approved an app last month from Exodus International, which is an extremist Christian, you know, ooga booga, the gays are coming to rape your children group. And
they try to de-gayify people.
Right, and they released an app on the iTunes store for iOS devices. And, you know, it didn't take too many complaints, and Apple was just like, oh, yeah, that's offensive. You know, knocked it off.
Yeah.
And but they don't take off apps such as, you know, I mean, Apple doesn't allow anything, you know, overtly sexual or political into their store, you know. That just, yeah, we usually don't get a whole lot of apps in the app store on Apple side that have a bunch of viruses and bullshit in it. But the other part of the highly regulated, highly, you know, scrutinized store is, you know, they don't allow the sex and politics and all that stuff, too. But in any case, they do allow stuff like, you know, gaydars and, you know, that find local gay hotspots and stuff like that. And a lot of these Christian groups are arguing that, well, you let all this pro-gay shit get on the iTunes store. Why not this anti-gay shit? Because it's fucking wrong. Well, you know, you're attacking a group.
People don't quite get it. I mean, it's like, okay, for these gay apps, well, gays having these apps doesn't hurt anybody.
Right.
Whereas them having apps that explicitly delegitimize gays as humans, that harms people.
There's enough children fucking killing themselves because churches tell them they're going to burn in hell anyway.
Yeah.
They don't need to be able to do it to their cell phone. So it's bad enough you can read the news on it.
Don't listen to church kids.
But in any case, what I was...
Don't do religion, kids.
What I was getting to is I was reading the Destructoid, Jim Sterling posted an article.
He made a post about it, yeah.
Saying, you know, good on... I agree with the app's right to exist, but I also, and you know, he was praising Apple for this, mm-hmm. I also agree with Apple's right to say not on our store. And, you know, he said good for them because it was disgusting.
They're a private company. They can do what the fuck they want.
Yeah. Oh, and I was reading the article about it on CNN, and, you know, the first conservative douchebag comes up and says, it's their constitutional right to be able to publish this. No, nowhere in the Constitution does it say thou shalt be able to publish thy anti-gay bullshit in the App Store, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But
Apple's not a government entity.
The comments, though, the comments on Destructoid's forums were, I mean, these were a bunch of gamers, and half of the comments were great. A fourth of them were, you know, kind of like, yeah, okay, I can see that, and, you know, kind of neutral. And then another fourth of them were all, fuck the fags, you know. And I'm sitting here thinking...
Really vile.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, looking at your username, you know, and your icon, all this, you were probably someone who got picked on in school, you sad fuck. So it just kind of disturbs me.
On the thing of disgusting... That funky, fucking cunt bitch whore. That old SNL has been.
Oh, Victoria Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Just, you know,
they keep calling her Miss Piggy.
She can choke on a thousand Thors for all I care.
Fuck her.
This is the new furry epitaph, you know, choke on a thousand Thors.
Oh, God, what a bitch.
Fuck
she's
her.
Just going, I swear, she's just going for the hate people. Hater, so she gets a lot of press, so she says April.
Maybe Sarah Palin will choose her as a running mate.
Someone tweeted, what's her name? What's the woman's name?
Victoria Jackson.
Victoria Jackson and Dennis Miller are coming with their new comedy tour. Why We Hate Gays and Muslims.
I saw somebody tweet that.
Yeah. It's like the people we stopped tolerating after SNL.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. You know what I was going to say on Apple, though? There's enough iPhones concentrated in New York and San Francisco, Apple knows what side its fucking bread is buttered on. they're not going to be cool with the anti-gay apps.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Apple, it's, you know, themselves, they're a very pro-gay company to begin with.
I've heard that they score very high on the diversity index.
HRC, Corporate Equality Index, 100% every year.
Yeah.
I mean,
because, again, they know... what side they're, you know.
There's a reason Mac fags are called Mac fags.
That, despite what you'll say about Steve Jobs, you know, he's kind of a prick in his own light with some things, but as far as something human like that, he's, you know, good guy.
Yeah. And even just looking beyond that, you could say it's just a sound business decision.
Yeah.
Not to piss whole groups of people off
Don't
for no fucking reason.
Don't be an asshole to minorities. What a fucking surprise.
The other thing is that many gay couples are dual income, no kids, meaning they have more disposable income, meaning, you know, iPads for everybody. So, you know, we're going to be more good customers to Apple than, you know, the hate mongers with their 15 children family. And
was
their,
she in that?
You know, okay. Pitchforks and what?
That bitch was in UHF.
Really?
And Al Yankovic just tweeted, yesterday, I guess, or today, no, this morning. I bet, I'll bet Michael Richards is thrilled that he's no longer the most hated UHF cast member. Damn.
Good point.
And yeah, speaking as one of those dual income, no kid Mac fags, you know, we have no problem supporting them and being total Mac fags.
Yay! Also, speaking of that, do we want to talk about Rich Fag cast?
We'll talk about that.
Okay. Should I read an email now?
Yeah, we read an email. We're blathering on.
We raged way beyond G4 and like homophobia. And
basically, don't be a dick to sum that conversation up. Yeah. Mind your own fucking business.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, go fuck yourself. Okay, this is a 2-pager here. So we mostly have a lot of FWA Con reports this week. So FWA Con report. Good evening, Notcasters. So this was my first FWA, and overall I had an excellent weekend with my mate Sparf and with the group of furs we were staying with. I got to meet a number of folks that I had only spoken to via Twitter, such as Scott J. Fox and Bucktown Tiger. Plus meet a whole new load of folks as well. Sorry, a whole load of new folks as well. I misread that. One woman I met was a roller coaster fanatic like I... Oh, okay, roller coaster fanatic like I was. I was imagining someone bipolar. She was a fanatic and she was a roller coaster about it.
I parsed that completely incorrectly.
Was a roller coaster fanatic like I was, and we ended up talking for a while about them at someone's room party. My primary focus was attending the writing panels, and I hit up most of them, including the adult fiction writing, but also the writing workshop, which was helpful to hear feedback from other writers on some work I'd written. When I wasn't hitting the writing panels, I spent a lot of time in the dealer's den and the artist's alley, checking out all different artists and setting up a few commissions as well. I did get a few badges, including one of Sparf and I by Sparky Nakomi, which Fuzz and a few others said they liked, and he has an FA link here. I ended up stopping by the Fur Planet table and getting my copies of Out of Position and X, signed by Kyle Gold, and I bought copies of Handcuffs and Lace, Save the Day, and Thousand Leaves. A few other highlights from the con. I have great video of two talking about puppies in the fandom and how they have to get beaten up a lot to become popular. I learned how to play Ferroticon and won a few new cards in one of their tournaments. Had an excellent dinner out with friends at the Woodfire Grill. Listened to Bucktown drunkenly singing Chicken and Fries in the hall room near our room. And generally used the weekend to hang out with my mate, my friends, and party. The dances were decent, the hotel was nice, and the con was pretty well run. The things I would directly suggest to them is to have more than one person judging the auditions for Furry's Got Talent, but I would say that for any sort of auditioning, but I would say that for any sort of auditioning panel, and to perhaps give some warning that media like G4's Attack of the Show is going to be there filming. I wanted to bring up one encounter I had with an artist, if only to illustrate why you should always be nice to them. An artist that I had gotten commissions from in the past had posted they were taking pre-orders for badges, so I signed up for one to pick up at FWA. I got to their table sometime Friday afternoon, and they saw my badge, and the first thing they said to me was, "Oh no, were you supposed to get a badge for FWA?" I thought that I might have forgotten to tell them that it was for FWA, but it turned out that my commission fell through the cracks of the search they had done on their commission database, because this artist is very organized about these things. So instead of being on the FWA queue, I was on their normal queue. I got many apologies and promised to have a badge done tomorrow, even though I kept insisting that they did not have to rush through it because they were likely busy with the con. In fact, I would have accepted waiting for the badge after the con and just have it shipped for free because I thought it was a small mistake. So the next day, the artist had a badge ready for me and included some cash back. I didn't feel right about taking the cash because, again, it wasn't a huge deal that the badge wasn't ready after all, and I was still on a queue. So since they insisted I should take it, but instead I put the cash towards an item from the other artist they were sharing the table with. That way I felt everyone wins in this case. I got a badge and the money stayed among the artists. I really think this artist was so very apologetic and generous about what I would say is a small slip-up is likely because other customers would have thrown a huge tantrum and they might have thought I would do that. I wouldn't, and I will continue to recommend this artist to friends because they do excellent work anyway. So that's my con report. I hope that Fuzzy's sales went well. I know I saw many people were there when Kyle was signing books.
Did he say who the artist was and all that?
No.
Aw.
He linked one badge, but I don't think that was the same artist. I'm not sure. Your black and purple striped tiger in Maryland, Mangy.
It's a neat badge. I'm looking at it now.
Oh?
Yeah.
I saw these because, Sparf got one too.
It's a couples badge.
It's kind of a multimedia badge because they use this, like, you know, the paper there to make the curtains, and they actually had like a little tassel. It's like a little theater stage badge, basically, where one of them is reading a script and one of them is singing, because that's what they do. And there are two badges for, you know, two mates. You can put them together and it forms one scene, and the stage curtains are like this, I guess, piece of construction paper, kind of, that's like like textured.
It actually looks a lot like one of the other badges I got 2 years back. Mm-hmm. The artist is Sparky Nakomi.
Yeah.
Sparky, N-E-K-O-M-I.
Yeah, so. He said that earlier.
Oh. Sorry.
But, no, that's cool.
I was in another thread.
But, yeah, no, I really did dig that those badges, actually. I thought that was pretty cool. I like those ones that are, like, two that kind of go together like that. I have one like that of Tyrion and I.
Where, I was going to ask if you did.
yeah, it's something that Amaze drew for us a couple years ago, where Tyrion is feeding me a gigantic sandwich.
Is Amaze that little blondish girl who's...
Yeah, friends with Siani and me. Yeah.
She was like my den pet the first year. She turned up the second year. Now she sat with you guys the third year. So she was somebody's friend.
Your den pet?
Yeah, she came up and hung around me in 2009, and she was always around.
You look safe. Glomp.
That was basically it.
Was really shy the first year, and
so she was like my little pet. She was always around the den. She'd sit in the corner and she'd draw. I gave her like a drink. Mm-hmm. She was like my little den pet, and she was just around from that point in time. So
she's really sweet, and she has a really cute style.
Yes, she does.
I've got a really neat one of Tyrion and I, not a badge, but actually a full commission that Siani got me, and it's like I'm the doctor, and Tyrion and I are like floating in space, and the TARDIS is in the background, so it's really cute. But anyway, so it's Savage's turn to read an email.
Indeed it is. Hi, guys and gals. It's a FDB report from Rama.
Cool.
First off, I want to apologize for breaking Fuzz over the weekend. The look on his face, though, was priceless, and he did seem to recover even after I gave him a mental scar. Smiley face. As a staff member, and specifically the staff member that runs the dealer's room in Artist Alley at FWA, my con report is somewhat boring. As Shiva will attest, running a dealer's room means getting on site.
You can hear Shiva now. Yes.
Hoping to God that the hotel has some semblance of your submitted floor plan set up in the room,
and
few hours putting the finishing touches on it. Then you let the dealers
He's
in.
Singing my song!
Yes. Then you let the dealers in. Hope there isn't some quirky personality conflict you didn't know about between neighboring dealers. Hope everyone is at least content on where they are and deal with any issues that arise. After that, you become a glorified babysitter when the attendees actually start to come in.
Oh my god.
And hope nobody starts a fire in the corner of the room that you can't easily see.
Oh god.
I don't want to sell my shit next to that motherfucker.
Then finally, at the end of the final day, you help the dealers get out, clean up the mess, and help put the con back into its box for the year. Shiva is greatly amused.
Yes, he nailed my.
I'm trying to get him to come down here. So, like, you guys can, like, dealer's den interface.
And they're just like, no, I take him down to the bar and say, you know my pain.
Then you'll have to go to FWA next year and buy him a drink. And you guys can like take turns. Speaking of FWA next year, on a tangential note, just want to say on the podcast, congratulations to Kyle Gold and Rukus.
Oh, cool.
Our next year's guests of honor. Their theme is Moulin Rouge.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Which is a very cool theme. And Rukus has already done artwork for it that was on a promotional postcard. You can look at it on her gallery. It
looks really nice.
It looks good.
Yeah.
And it has, it looks like it has Reese and Marcus on it. And it's the wolf character Reese in a dress behind him, behind like this bunny.
The porn I pulled up earlier, wasn't it, huh?
No.
That was hot.
That was Reese and Marcus fucking.
Switch, in fact.
You know.
The Moulin Rouge.
She doesn't draw her characters with, like, hair, so it could just be a generic gray wolf. But
oh, Savern, the correct term is head fur.
Faggot.
Now, anyways, can I finish reading this email before you guys interrupt me any further?
No, Reese and Marcus, I mean, there's a... a fennecky looking guy there, but it's not.
And there's the gray wolf behind the bunny.
Who has tits?
That doesn't mean a thing. He'd be cross-dressing with falsies.
Those aren't falsies. You can see the shoulder.
Okay, fine. Whatever. It's kind of hard to
Can we stop arguing over boobs?
Boobs are great.
Boobs are great.
There we go.
Yes.
Yeah, well, she posted a close-up of that. It's just like
without the cock.
Well, without the cock, but it's like a detail shot of their heads, and it's still really hot because he's like nipping his neck and shit.
Okay, I'll go look at it later in FAP, okay? Stop.
FAP later, God.
As I look at the porn on my iPad here.
Yeah. One nice thing about being in one place most of the con is that people generally come to you.
Yes.
It's always nice getting to see friends at conventions that you might see just once or twice a year. The one big problem about working in the dealer's room is you're so close to having so much stuff and nothing to pull you out of the room. I think I heard my bank card scream mercy at the end of the weekend. No thanks to the multiple purchases at Fuzz's table.
Thank you.
The one panel I did get to go to was Fuzz and Kyle doing their Not Sheathed podcast. I started listening very recently to both podcasts, and it was entertaining to see it done live. The impromptu after party was nice, too. I rarely just get to chat with two famous podcasters like those two, smiley face.
I should have made Recky read this one.
I think it could have stuck around longer, but 2 a.m. was about all my body could take. So all in all, a very successful convention from any perspective. Saw old friends, made new ones, bought a bunch of stuff, no table flips by myself or my staff, and we left the hotel mostly in one piece. Hope to see more of you in Memphis come September. Rama.
I wonder if Rama is the same issue I do. When it comes to the den, I don't mind buying merchandise. You walk up, it's got a set price, you put down the money, you walk away. But I've got a hard time going up to my dealers and like talking about commissions. I usually send out my two boys to do it. Mm-hmm. Just because I don't want to seem like a fanboy. I don't want to get any kind of special treatment. If there's a book on the table, it's got a price. I put down my $10. I pick up the book. I walk away. I'm not getting any kind of advantage or favor. But I was afraid to make it seem like they want to curry favor with me. I just have a hard time getting commissions at cons.
And that's why you get your mates to do it.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to hear his perspective.
Yeah. Two last things. P.S. We're still counting. Recky has my vote for the sexiest voice. And P.P.S. Fuzz, I'm not sure if I was more amused or disturbed when I opened up my copy of Trevor's Tricks that you sold me when I got home. Thanks for reading and happy fapping.
Why? What did you do to us?
That was Rama, right?
That was Rama. That's how I signed the books. Thanks for reading and happy fapping. For the one I donated to charity at OkuCon, I wrote, "Now you're fapping for charity."
It's what's in my copy of Trevor's Tricks, so.
Think of me while you masturbate.
I'm the fox and Fuzz is the wolf and
who's the nightstick?
No, we're not gonna get this started, Fuzz.
Touch it. It's your turn, Recky.
All right.
Put down the iPad for a second.
All right, just for a
second.
I
was just making grabby paws at it because I was like, I get mine in 2 days.
I pulled up the Netflix app, so he was just like, whimper. All right.
Let me.
Rama hit it on the head. Oh my God.
I could kind of tell. I like that he said, no table flips by me or my staff.
Yeah, like I talked to him quite often, and like usually every day, and we were texting back and forth like right before the con, and
we're recording.
Grumble, grumble, grumble. Okay.
You saying?
Okay, well you can clip that part if you want.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to clip it. I'm just saying that we're recording again.
Yeah.
I have to stop and save the file after about an hour, or else it gets really, really big.
And mad.
No, you don't.
All right, let's.
Mine worked fine. It's the same brand. Okay,
mine's older. And I'm paranoid. I don't want to lose an episode.
Okay, fine. Paranoia is a perfectly legitimate reason to like almost have like a backup running and to not fuck things up.
Well, we don't do backups anymore.
Well, it's because...
Okay. Not since the incident. Now Recky's going to read an email.
Yes. FWA 2011 Rewind. Hey, Notcast crew, Marcus Noble here. You asked for reports about FWA 2011. Well, here's mine. I got to the con later on Thursday than I had originally planned, since my direct flight from Baltimore Washington International Airport had been canceled because of plane maintenance. Oh, that sucks. So I had to take another flight to Dayton, Ohio, and then from there to Atlanta. I didn't get to the hotel until 10 p.m. I did manage to check in and pick up my bag that badge that night, so it wasn't a total loss. I did have the hotel's buffet breakfast the next day. While it was good, it was pricey. Elements Hotel Breakfast Buffet. Other notable things on Saturday were Mr. Gold's panel about making your dialogue sound real, which I found very informative. I did get to meet Fuzzwolf, you motherfucker, at his table at the dealer's. I'm just kidding.
I was the only cast member there. Of course I'm going to get mentioned in some of these.
I know, I'm just messing. I picked up a copy of Isolation Play, which I got Mr. Gold to sign later. Let's see here. I played in the charity poker tournament over the weekend. I eventually made it to the final table, which we played by the pool. I got a cool medal for making the final table and finished the seventh place, which got me a free t-shirt. On Sunday night, after closing ceremonies, I went to the bar to cap off my con experience with a nice dinner and a couple of drinks. While there was a nice gentleman with another convention that was happening in the hotel, he asked me about the furry convention, and we had a nice, pleasant conversation about it. I did meet a few of my furry friends from the internet over the weekend as well, so all in all, after a bit of a rocky start, the con went very well for me. Though I do know what everyone means about not having bathroom doors that lock. Though, since I was staying in a room by myself, that wasn't a problem for me. It was a fun time, and I look forward to going back next year, especially with the theme being furries at the Moulin Rouge, and with Mr. Kyle Gold being a guest of honor. Anyway, that's all for my con report. To all the Notcast crew, have fun and be safe. Marcus Noble, the hockey, poker, Doctor Who, and WWE-loving skunk.
Oh, but Marcus had mentioned about how he got shuttled to another airport. That's how my epic 2001 AC... We got rerouted, stuck trying to make a connection, and oh my god, yeah. Sleeping in an airport, or trying to, does not work.
The thing he mentioned about the bathrooms was the hotel had really, really strange bathroom doors. Like, there were... The entryway was kind of narrow, and it was just this big thing that slid over... And it didn't latch or anything.
That would bother the hell out of me.
So it was just kind of like, hope you have trustworthy roommates.
Or at least ones that are paying the fuck attention.
Yeah. But, yeah. It was minorly weird, but it wasn't too terrible.
Okay.
Which is odd.
Well, so, sounds like you had a good time.
Yeah.
All right, so my second one. Subject, FWA doesn't just stand for Furry Weekend Atlanta. Hello there, Notcasters. I first wrote in a year and a half ago, but I thought it was time to write in again and share my thoughts about FWA. I heard from a lot of people that this year was definitely PartyCon 2011. I personally had an amazing time, had a room party, went room hopping, danced my tail off, and spent an evening playing... praying, if you know what I mean. But all I have to say is the con was pretty amazing. I had an amazing time with my friends, made a number of new ones, and can't wait to do it again next year, and definitely looking forward to next year's theme. So that's been two thumbs up, at least, for the new theme. I will leave you with this, a phrase that one of my roommates from FWA came up with, a pretty good description of how this con went. FWA, fucking wasted always. Stay naughty, Rizu, a gray wolf from Florida.
Fucking wasted always. Nice. I don't really get wasted at the con, but it's good that people had a good time that enjoy that.
So, yeah.
I'm trying to make Rukus's FWA artwork my wallpaper here.
But your turn.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. There we go. Yeah.
Oh.
Looks good on my phone. Okay, FWA Con Report 2011. Woo! Oh, that's funny.
What?
I got a couple. Like, the last one was from Sparf's mate, this one's from Sparf. It was just funny that the two of you ended up.
Didn't you sort them? Yeah, you did.
Yeah, he sorted them, but he didn't, like.
I didn't read them all in detail. I was like, Con Report, Con Report, Con Report, not Con Report. Ba ba ba. Okay, so, greetings, Softcast. It's been a while since I've written in, but I wanted to toss out my con report for FWA 2011. It was, in a word, awesome. It was easily the best con I've ever attended as far as the general good vibe of the con, the scheduling of the panels I wanted to attend, and the variety in the dealer's room. My mate, Angie the Tiger, and I, not having the luxury of time due to work, school, and performance obligations, flew in on Friday morning rather than being able to be there Thursday for the pre-con events. They're not laughing at you. They're iPadding.
Yeah, I'm more... I can't... Just amuse it.
Oh, his iPad yeah, is you were fucking coin. Typing away like a demon on that fucker a couple of minutes ago. I was like, are you really that good at like,
it's the on-screen? It's his new toy. I mean, it feels like the future.
Y'all bitches ain't going to see me on Saturday, by the way.
He's going to be sitting outside his door camping the UPS guy.
I hope FedEx, actually. I hope that's
get it right, goddammit. He meant so much.
Sit in the bushes, wait for him to spawn. Get back in the kitchen.
And you're hoping it comes charged so you can...
I fucking hope that thing is, like, delivered at 8 o'clock in the morning so I can play with it all day.
You know, it's going to come at 6:30.
I'll come stand outside your apartment and just play with mine out there.
And talk to him.
Actually, did it come charged? Not to think about it.
Well,
worst case, they come with a charger.
Yeah. And work as you're charging it. Read the goddamn email.
Dear Nodcast, I have an iPad in it. No. Okay, where was I? We met up with other friends from the DC area who'd driven down and set about the con. Two of said friends were fursuiting, which I would have been too had my suit not been unfortunately delayed. So there was some bitterness on my part at not being able to debut the suit and participate in the fursuiting events. Damn you! But I quickly squelched that with a whirlwind of badge and sketchbook commissions from some of the great artists in the Dealer's Den and Artist Alley. That's what I forgot to mention earlier. I got sketches, bitches. So I got an awesome sketch of Fuzz with his cock out from Dragonair. And I got another sketch of me as a ditzy fox and Tyrion as a badger. And it's a toony thing. And I have put Mountain Dew and grease into the server so that it will run faster and slicker. Tyrion's badger face is like, yay!
The thing is, anybody who knows Tyrion, he is such a badger. That is so very perfect for him.
Don't say that.
Why?
Because I don't like badgers. They're mean. He picks on me with the badger. Okay, where was I? Dealers in our style. Yes, I got to meet and spend some time talking with Fuzz. Hey, Fuzz. And between my mate and I probably bought 10 books or so from Fur Planet, which I very much appreciate. So now I have a larger to-read-than-to-buy list. It was really a pleasure to put a physical face and personality to Fuzz's voice and online/podcast persona.
You have a podcast persona? I thought you were just you.
I pretty much am, but people have said I do come off slightly differently on the podcast. I think I'm fucking filthy on this show. Yeah. You don't see me talking about Doctor Who. Like this on Who Furs. Like Teal and I are just bantering. It'd be like, I totally want to be all over Matt Smith's cock. this is a very different vibe, is what I'm saying.
I like him, but I don't find him sexually appealing at all.
Oh, come on, baby. Whip out that sonic screwdriver.
You would break him in half.
Use it to open an anus. You're right, I probably would break him in half. He's a very little guy, that's what I'm saying.
He's tall but weedy.
Tall but weedy?
Weedy. Oh, so I totally have to see this fucking other TV show that he's in. He plays a gay playwright. He's like making out and fucking guys.
Oh, really?
I gotta see. Yeah, Ricky and Teal and a couple other folks on Twitter today were talking about it. I was like, yes, I have to see this. So if you're a Doctor Who or more importantly a Matt Smith fan, you should look it up. Unless you're straight, because then you might be disturbed. I'm not sure. Yeah, it gets the Doctor and he's getting some. And oh my God, is that Rory? No, Rory's not. No, Rory isn't in that. But anyway, the other highlight of my con was having the opportunity to meet and get signatures and writing tips from the always awesome Kyle Gold and his wonderful mate Kit Silver at various points throughout the weekend. The con was not without its minor drama, of course. There are always those furries who are just socially awkward and don't understand appropriate conversation. As I call them, that guy. Or they just hover. Which, yes, instead of trying to join in the group, they wait like a poor dog trying to catch its master's eye for a little bit of attention. And I don't like to be mean and tell them to go away because I know what it's like to feel lonely and outcast. So I'm typically caught between a rock and a hard place in regards to my own sensitivity. My mate, on the other hand, was nearly ready, along with my DC friends, to tell the guy off. I convinced him instead just to try and ignore the problem, because I'm a coward that way, I guess. Overall, it wasn't really as big an issue as it could have been, but please, furries out there, walk up and speak. Be a part of the conversation, or at least talk a little, even if you're mostly introverted. Don't just stand close, silently hovering, and then when you do speak, talk about that one time you slept with the guy you're standing next to.
Oh, God.
Fuck. Also, when their boyfriend or other significant other is standing right there, don't awkwardly reach out and start scritching them on the lower back. At the least, it's rude, quite probably creepy, and totally inappropriate unless you have permissions beforehand. I'm also going to insert some additional advice here, is that it also bugs me when someone does the creepy standing thing for a while, and then just, like, you're in a group of, like, four or five people, whatever, and you're clearly having a discussion with this group of people, and then you just walk in and start interjecting into their conversation.
There's always a fucking fur that does that at every con I've ever been to, and I want to punch them.
And it's just like, who the fuck are you? We're having a conversation here. Go away.
Just because we're all furries does not mean we're fucking blood brothers. You know, get the hell
right, away. Yeah, totally. But anyway, he didn't say that. I'm adding that in there, my own personal perspective. Yeah, he has one more paragraph here. One last thing, and I'll end this lengthy email. In regards to my mate and I, we've now come a full year of knowing each other. The 1 year anniversary of our first date was a few weeks ago, and our official together date anniversary falls around Anthrocon. I want to thank you guys for all the good advice, both to me when I wrote in, like with my story about the ex-fiancé Florida vacation, and when I just listened to the advice given to others. You've helped me through a lot of troubled memories, and I credit a large part of being ready for the relationship with Manji to things I learned from all of you. So with that, I will sign off. Good luck, best wishes. Sparf, your favorite green wolf. Sent from the archives of the Vatican.
Wow.
Yes, it does say that. Awesome. Thank you very much for writing in. It was cool to meet you guys, and I appreciate everyone that shopped at the table this weekend. Definitely kept me from getting bored.
Yay.
I had a lot of good conversations behind the table, too. And, like, I was listening to a podcast today, and it was like, someone had asked a question about furry books. And they were, like, fighting to come up with names of furry books, and they were coming up with stuff like, I don't know, Redwall, I guess? And I was just like, because I know like only like 45% of people under the age of 21 are actually active readers right now. So it was actually nice. Behind the table at FWA, there was a lot of people were just talking about writing, talking about books, buying books. And, you know, it's really cool that, you know, at least in our small community, I kind of feel like the writing and the books are getting a bit of a foothold in the market. So encouraging. We sold a lot of books, and I was able to leave a little bit lighter than I arrived. So, Saverin, I guess you have an email next?
Yep, indeed I do.
Okay.
Subject, discovering a furry friend through video games. Hello, Notcast crew. I'm a fairly new Notcast listener and decided now is the time to write in and tell a quick anecdote about how I discovered one of my friends was a furry. It all started over some games of Super Smash Bros. He would insist on playing as Fox 95% of the time, with the remaining 5% as Samus. Anyways, this was a predictable trend, but my other friends and I didn't think much of it. One day, he notices various furry pictures on my laptop I brought with me. Feeling a bit more secure, he decided to tell a select few of us that he liked furry stuff, but had never told anyone about it before. We're pretty happy that he felt that could find the courage to tell his friends with that bit of trust his friends with that bit of information. Blech. Keep up the great job with the podcast, and may there be many more episodes to come. Nurse Mouse.
Hmm.
P.S. Fantastic job with the live podcast at Furry Fiesta. I had a good laugh about the assorted animal dildos arriving in the mail, only to be found by Ricky's aunt.
Awesome.
Which is the missing 2 minutes of the live show that the recorder ate.
Oh, he got... Oh, crap.
Yeah, it was like Ricky was starting to tell his tale, and then silence. And I noticed it like half a, you know, a little bit later, but I had to get batteries, and we were still talking. So I was like, son of a bitch, goddammit. Ah, stuff batteries in, get it restarted as quick as I could. Sorry.
Oh.
But yeah, video games make furries. You know, people playing as Fox. Mm-hmm. Husky unit guard the base.
I can't let you do that, Fox. Hey, look, it's a tiger with his cock out. Isn't that nice?
That's kind of flat-faced. Skimming with ears tacked on.
It looks like it's been hit with a shovel.
Yeah.
Wow, it's like, we ought to do like an episode of like Instant Art Critic with Saffron. What do you think of this, Saffron?
Hey, shit.
I could draw better with the tip of my penis.
Judgmental right. Fox.
Yeah, that'll be the episode title, Judgmental Fox.
Okay, subject, reaching out. Dear Notcast Crewfers.
There we go.
Gonna start this out with an introduction. Name is Kinks, and I'm a 24-year-old, mostly straight, hardcore gamer chick, Star Wars nerd, science major, who has been a part of the fandom for about 5 years now.
Good.
I was the female that asked about the about what the fandom was missing in the live cast at Furry Fiesta. For starters, I wanted to say heyo to all my fellow furs and say awesome job on the podcast. This is the first time I've ever been involved with listening to something like this, and I'm enjoying it immensely. Well, thank you. Okay, now for my dilemma. As I've said, I have been a part of the fandom for 5 years, and you could say that my exposure to the fandom was interesting. I've always been furry, but never knew what to call it until a fateful day when a close friend of mine from the MMO City of Heroes introduced me to Second Life. My name in SL then was Lorelli Zhao, and some people from the Furnation, from Furnation back in that time would know me as DJ Kinky. Now, for one, learning about the fandom in SL, you need to get the crash course and what's involved, but you also don't always get the connections needed to branch yourself out. I've since stopped playing SL, yay less drama llamas, and begun to have a bit less digital connection with the fandom. However, I live in Abilene, Texas, and that is fucking out there. For those of you who don't know where Abilene is, it's in the panhandle of...
No, far west.
Oh, I'm thinking Amarillo. Abilene is...
Abilene is in the western dry desert area.
Okay. I got family in that town.
So. It's sort of near New Mexico.
So...
Kinda,
yeah. Anyway, it's fucking out there. And if anyone has ever been there, you understand.
There's ACU, and that's about it.
Yeah. What I'm asking here is for a guide on how to find any furs in the area. If anyone's listening, this is an area. Look me up on Twitter. KALYPSTRA.
Start on Lone Star Furs.
LoneStarFurs.org. That's Daul's website that he has set up for Texas, and there are multiple area, you know, sections of the board that, you know, you can communicate with local furs through. Again, that's LoneStarFurs.org. All right. Thank you much for taking the time to read this, and I'm sure many funnies were spoken in the process, and I'll look forward to hearing it. Always, Kinks. P.S. If this is read during the game podcast, you can read below. Well, it's very short, so I'll read it anyway. Like I aforementioned, I'm a hardcore gamer chick, Nintendo gal by heart turned PC gamer. I literally play every style of game and enjoy it, including tabletop, Dungeons & Dragons, Shadowrun, Rifts, D20 Modern, and many more. I got to play my Pokemons and Zelda. Anyway, this is a shout out to all those gamers out there to say, yes, we gamer chicks do exist. And to mention something that I see as a growing problem in gaming, we are losing touch with reality, folks. And on a personal level, I feel that anyone that calls themselves a gamer knows where the power button is and uses it when faced with real life. Once you pass over the threshold to addiction, you are no longer a gamer and a thorn in the side of every other gamer that has to deal with overprotective parents and that let the electronic babysitter do all the parenting and then complain.
The parenting thing is another topic for another time. I'm just tired of hearing stories about people starving themselves or their kids to play a damned game. It makes the rest of us look bad.
Amen.
Well, if it's any consolation, that mostly happens in South Korea, but... Yeah.
I heard about that in the States somewhere, though. There's like a fucking...
Yeah, the chick was playing Facebook games. She was playing Farmville.
Yeah.
Well, there was also a
WoW. Not a real gamer. God.
No, there was actually a WoW mom who did that.
Yeah, I believe that.
This has happened so many times. So the one I was thinking of in particular was like 2 20-something fucking meth heads that were playing some console game, and they're like... You know, like 18-month child was like screaming for attention in the other room, and apparently, you know, Child Protective Services eventually came and, you know, saved the kid. And I don't remember, he or she was like badly like dehydrated and bed sores and shit like that, just because they weren't taking care of it because they were too busy fucking around on SimCity or whatever it was.
Well, what's funny is that they had a Law and Order episode based on that. And it is the most utterly inaccurate, retarded-looking depiction of gamers in media ever.
Are they like, all gamers are like this?
They are playing some fat...
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
We recently... Well, Sarah and I actually love Law & Order, and we watch the shit out of it.
5 p.m. But... Nintendo HQ.
God damn it. But, yeah, they're like... You know, obviously they're overweight, you know, cause, you know, every gamer's overweight. And then, you know, they're fucking greased up with Cheetos and live in this shithole apartment.
Rubbing Cheetos on them.
Like the Special Victims Unit police, you know, bust in because they found the mother's little girl. Oh my, that's bad.
That is fucking mesmerizing.
Someone leaked that on Twitter. It was a
horrible thing. I just think of watching a boing.
But anyway.
Boing.
What was it? Were you watching Meat Spin?
Yes. No, but yeah, the mother's little girl got, you know, raped. She was like, what, 7 years old or something. And the cops found her bleeding and all this other stuff. And the parents didn't know she disappeared because they're terrible parents, because they're gamers. You know, gamers are awful parents. They walk in and, like, they're playing Xbox or something. No, they're not even playing Xbox. They're playing, like...
Y-Box. It's a knockoff.
Well, they're playing, like, a PC connected to a television with, like, crappy USB controllers. Playing something that looks like the poor man's Dragon Age or whatever that was made for the PlayStation 1 is what it looks like. And this was just a couple of years ago that this was done. And they come in and, like, they have to, like, pull them away from the game. What the hell, man? Turn it back, plug us back in.
I was on level 12. I was going to save the wizard.
Like, your fucking child is missing. No, he's okay. They're, like, saving their child in the game while their real child is, like, raped and destroyed. As they pull them away, the child on the video game falls off a cliff and goes, Mommy, don't let me die. And then she mentions that she met him during a South Korean Xbox Live competition. What?
Yeah, because doesn't the SVU show take place in New York?
Yes.
Because gamers are crazy and go to Korea. Yes. No, they only do that for GSL.
We met over an Xbox competition hosted out of South Korea. I'm like, oh,
yeah. It's like...
Bad writing, didn't do their research.
It's out there. There's so much available information, and they still get it so wrong.
I guarantee you someone on that staff plays video games hardcore and is just like, why am I having something to do with this?
Sort of like the poor furry fucks that had to help out the C. Apparently the CSI episode would have been like 1,000 times worse if they hadn't had local furry involvement
boing,
in it.
Boing.
Let me see, Rick.
Someone linked this on Twitter. The user is Bespid, BESPED, Icon Bounce Boobs 2. It's a herm with everything in the world bouncing up and down. I don't know why someone linked this on Twitter, but they did, and it's hilarious.
And you clicked it and lolled.
I clicked it and didn't pay attention because I started talking about my story, and she was just looking at my iPad going, what the fuck?
they're just roing, roing.
And I'm like, oh, okay. There's a bouncing herm on my laptop.
Did he leave that up on purpose? I didn't realize he was just left it up obliviously and wasn't just trying to mesmerize me.
I'm mesmerized by the bouncing boobs and dick.
Yeah. But and actually, I was wrong. Abilene is closer to Dallas than it is to the New Mexico border.
What, like two hours?
It's 3 hours. It's 184 miles from the center of Dallas to center of Abilene. Yeah,
it's still the fuck out there.
Yeah, it's still 3 hours plus away.
It's a ways.
But not too far to go to a con, but it is a bit much to come in regularly. That's for damn sure.
But yeah, Lone Star First, I believe there's a couple out in Abilene.
I used to drive down to Waco to hang out with Furs on, like, Saturday, Sunday.
I drive to Nashville from Little Rock.
Yeah, but that's because...
You work there.
Don't you have
work-related... I have work in Little Rock, but not Nashville.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just a nice guy like that. That's all. Yeah,
you're just nuts. You're
so modest, too.
Well, I don't pay for the gas, that's what it is.
Don't say anything, shh. So, anybody else have anything?
Nope, that was the last email.
That was the last email.
Do we have anything we want to...
Get off our chest.
Talk about? I don't know.
Talk about our feelings?
I will not be here next week.
Are you going to Louisiana again?
No, thank God. I am going to Arkansas.
So, slightly up CL.
A state with electricity. Yeah. Awesome.
A state above the sea level.
A state that knows how to pave its fucking highways.
Yes, that is for damn sure. I've got work in all over South Arkansas, and then I got a couple of accounts in Little Rock to go look at. And then I'm probably going to drive over to Nashville to see some friends, and then come back home.
Okay. Do we know what we're talking about next week?
No.
No.
The magic of friendship.
Whee! Friendship is magic.
Are you serious?
No.
I'd like to do a whole episode on My Little Pony, which I've never watched.
Well, next week, I'm glad I won't be here because it'll be Fuzz Got an iPad Cast.
He's going to be sitting here much like you are, just going, scroll.
Hey, at least, scroll, you know, I haven't.
Because you've had that for how many days, Ricky? Not long. I remember.
It'll be a week on Saturday.
Okay. So we'll be at almost a week next Thursday. The shiny won't have worn off.
I'll be touching it.
And just be glad I didn't sit here and play Plants vs. Zombies the entire episode.
You just hear it.
I've heard I need to play that because it's in like HD and looks it's amazing. It's
fucking addictive. I mean,
yeah, I'll come up with a topic. I always do.
Our topic is iPad apps. Send in your recommendations.
Yeah,
I've got 32 gigs to load up.
He's just gonna be sitting here watching Netflix the entire episode.
Yeah, I'll have my headphones on under my headphones, so it looks like I'm paying attention, and I'm like, fuck yeah, watching Resident Evil or something.
So,
oh god,
yeah, My Little Pony is Doctor Who and iPads. That'll totally be next week's topic.
Totally. So not much different than usual, in other words.
Yeah, exactly. Hey. What are we talking about? iDevices and Doctor Who, like fucking every other episode.
Well, this one will include My Little Ponies.
And this one will have My Little Ponies, which we also talked about this episode.
I should write into the show.
Last episode.
Next week.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Nah, I'll come up with a topic, you know.
I'll read it. I'm Ricky, and I'm the biggest idiot ever.
I'm Fuzzwolf. Don't buy my products. No.
Sad Fuzz.
I need food.
So on that note, it's 11:20. Good night.
Do you know where your children are?
Not here.
This week's item from Adam and Eve is the 8-inch All-American Whopper Dong. And this dude is big. 8-inch All-American Whopper Dong gives you all you can handle, sculpted for super realism and a uniquely curved for maximum sensations. 8-inch flexible rubber shaft and heavy balls feel just like the real deal. Plus, the strong suction cup gives you hands-free pleasure anywhere. Use it for anal or vaginal. Choose white or black. It's 8-inch from tip to base and 1.5 inches wide. It's pretty huge. And only $29.95, but if you use our coupon code NOT, that's KNOT at adamandeve.com. You get 50% off one item, free shipping, 3 free DVDs, and a mystery gift. And every sale made with our code helps the podcast out too.